أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا ونسأل الله أن يبارك فيكم وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه والآن نستعذنكم لنطرح عليكم شيء من الأسئلة حفظكم الله جزاكم الله خير الشيخ هذا سائل الأخ أكرم من ولاية فلوريدا يقول هل المحدثون أصحاب الكتب الستة أخذوا الروايات من أصحاب البدعة وما حكم أخذ الحديث من أهل البدعة The question is did the محدثين such as the authors of the كتب الستة took from the people of innovation in their hadith transmissions and what is the ruling on taking hadith from innovators أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولا أرحب بالأخ السائل من ولاية فلوريدا كما أرحب بسائر الأخوة والأخوات أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياهم من أهل السنة وأن يجعلنا من المتحابين في جلاله يمسكنا بالحق
الشيخ حفظه الله begins by remembering Allah سبحانه وتعالى and saying first of all I would like to welcome this brother that has asked us this question from the state of Florida and the rest of the brothers and sisters that are listening and attending. I ask Allah Most High that He makes me and them from the people or the family of As-Sunnah, Ahl-Sunnah, and that He causes us to be from those that love each other in His honor, and that we hold fast to the truth.
بالنسبة لكتب السنة ستة وغيرها من المصنفات التي صنفت قبلها أو صنفت في الوقت الذي صنفت فيه الكتب الستة أو صنفت بعدها التي صنفها أهل السنة وأئمتهم من أهل الحديث فإنهم لم يعتمدوا رواية أصحاب البدع الذين يدعون إلى البدع قد قسموا المبتدعة إلى قسمين قسم داعية إلى بدعته قسم لا يدعو إلى بدعته ثم فلم يأخذوا من الدعاة إلى بدعهم ثم القسم الآخر الذي لا يدعو إلى بدعته إنما يقوم بها يعملها في خاصة نفسه ولا يظهرها ولا يدعو لها فإنهم ينظرون إذا وجدوا الحديث عند غيره فإنهم يستغنون بذلك الغير عنه ولا ينقلون عنه إلا عند الحاجة ثم إن الذي ينقل عنه لما ينقل حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن يتثبتوا من ثقته ويكون هذا الذي وقع في تلك البدعة لم تقم عليه الحجة ولم تنتفي عنه الموانع فوقع في البدعة وهو يظن أنه على الخير وأنه على الحق وهو في الحقيقة على خطأ على ضلال نعم
As it concerns the books of As-Sunnah, the six books and other than them that have been written, that were written at the same time and authored the same time as the six books, that the authors of it were Ahl al-Sunnah and their imams, leaders of Ahl al-Hadith. As for them, they did not use as i'timad. That is, they did not rely upon the narration of the people of bid'ah that call to their bid'ah. What they have done is classify the muftadi' or ahl al-bid'ah, that is the innovators, into two categories. Some of them that call to their innovation, and some of them that do not call to their innovation. And at this point, they would not take from the callers to their bid'ah. Those who called to their bid'ah, they did not take to their narration. As for the second type that does not call to his bid'ah, rather he does it privately or for his own self, not calling to it. So they will look to see if they can find that hadith that this person may have narrated with somebody else. Then they would be able to use that other person that is on the sunnah and have no need for the person that narrated the hadith from the people of Bid'ah. and they don't convey from him anything except for the need. And then the one that is conveying anything from him, he is conveying the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ after being assured that the person is trustworthy, thiqh, and that this person that might have fallen into this certain bid'ah, innovation, the proof was not established against him. And those things that may be excuses for him have not been taken away. In other words, there are still excuses that may be, that have kept him from knowing the truth. So what happened was he fell into the innovation, and in this he was thinking that he was upon the khayr, goodness, and upon the truth. Rather, in reality, the case is that he is upon a mistake and a misguidance.
فيها تفصيل طويل وأهل العلم قد اختلفوا في هذه المسألة اختلافا قديما وحديثا. فمن أهل العلم من منع الرواية عن أهل البدع سواء كان داعية أو غير داعية، ومنهم من فصل وفرق بين الداعية وغير الداعية، واحتج كل صاحب قول بحجج.
And here there's a lot of tafsir, that is specifics, and the people of knowledge have, they've had a lot of khilaf surrounding this issue. That is, they've debated within each other about this certain issue, the old of them and those of our times as well. So from the people of knowledge are those that have may prohibited or refused to take the narration of the people of innovation, whether they were calling to this innovation or not. And some of them are those that have the tafsir, the categorization, and they distinguish between the one that is a caller and the one that is not a caller to their innovation. And every side presented the proofs that they have.
ولكن ينبغي التنبه هنا إلى أن الذين يتعاملون مع أهل البدع في قبول روايتهم وعدم قبول روايتهم هم أهل العلم.
But it is important here that we know that those that are establishing the authenticity, or they are reasoning out if this person from the people of bid'ah, his narration can be accepted or not, are the people of knowledge. Rather, it is not for the student of knowledge, or for that case, the ammi, the layman, to deal with the people of innovation.
أو يأتي العامي ويحتج بعمل أهل العلم.
Or that this layman, he comes and uses as a proof for himself the action of the people of knowledge in their dealing with the مبتدع. He can't use this as a proof.
فهذا من مكائد الشيطان.
Rather, this is from the traps of shaitan.
التي تقدم ذكرها وهي المكيدة الثانية بعد الشرك.
And it is the second trap after shirk. So it is the second trap after shirk and kufr, and it is the trap of bid'ah, innovations. So the shaitan comes and whispers in his ear some of this, meaning, okay, the scholars are using it, you can use it. And then he makes for him the bid'ah light upon his heart. Easily acceptable. And likewise, he does the same in his dealing with the shaitan beautifies for him in that way, the dealing with the people of bid'ah. So it is binding upon the Muslim that he be very cautious in this affair. And that he does not slip. For verily, Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani. And he was from the leaders of the Salaf, from the first generation of the Tabi'een. the people that followed the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the first generation of them. رحمهم الله تعالى. Allah have mercy upon them all.
أتى إليه مبتدع. قال أريد أن أقرأ عليك آية.
An innovator, a مبتدع, came to him and said, I wish to recite upon you one verse, meaning from the Quran.
فوضع أصبعيه في أذنيه وأشار له بيده أو بأصبعه ولا نصف آية.
So he put his fingers in his ears and waved him off with his the other fingers, saying not even half a verse.
فلما ذهب المبتدع قالوا ما بالك أو لماذا تمنعه من أن يقرأ عليك آية من القرآن.
So when the innovator left, the mubtada left, they said to him, what's the matter that you don't let the man recite upon you a verse from the book of Allah? He said, I fear that he may twist it or change the meaning of it, and that may stay in my heart.
فإذا كان هذا أيوب السختياني رحمه الله تعالى وهو من أئمة السلف
So if this is the case with Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, and we have noted he is from the Imams, the leaders of the first generation of the Tabi'een, and the Imams of the Salaf, this is his case.
جماعهم الكبار من أئمة أهل السنة والجماعة.
And he was from the scholars and the Imams of أهل السنة والجماعة.
بفحول العلماء وكبارهم.
And he was from the فحول of the علماء, really meaning from the men, from between the علماء.
رفعائهم إذا كان يخاف على نفسه منه.
And he was a one of high status and respect between them. If this is a man that fears upon himself,
أهل البدع ولو أن يقرأوا عليه آية,
the traps of the people of innovation, even to the point he did not want to let them recite upon him a verse, an ayah.
فكيف بنا?
So, what about us? How do you think the case with us is?
وهنا قاعدة مهمة ينبغي للمسلم أن يتنبه لها.
And here is a very important principle, قاعدة, that the Muslim should have تنبيه. He should pay attention to.
وهي أن المؤمن يخاف.
And it is that the mu'min, the believer, has fear.
وإذا خاف أدلج, يعني أسرع.
And if he fears, then he becomes quick.
السير إلى الجنة. وإذا أدلج بلغ المنزلة وهي الجنة.
He becomes quick. As soon as he starts to fear and becomes scared, he starts to become quick. And when he becomes quick, he is becoming quicker toward Jannah. So when he starts to run or go faster toward Jannah, then sooner or later, he will reach the manzil. He will reach the home, the final abode, and that is Jannah. As for the hypocrite, the munafiq, then he has amin. That is, he feels secure, safe. He doesn't fear nothing of this. And the shaitan stays after him until he takes him into the hellfire.
أحسن الله إليكم فضيلة الشيخ هذه السائلة من دنمارك تقول هل يجوز للمرأة الحائض لمس القدم مع التحجي النص مثلا ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه الأحرف لا يكون مكتوب بالعربي يعني المصحف لا يوجد فيه الأحرف العربية ويكون مكتوب باللغة الإنجليزية ولكن يقرأ بالعربية. فمثلا ألف لامي يكون مكتوب ألفه A-L-I-F وهذا ألف، فمكتوب باللغة الإنجليزية ولكن عندما يقرأ أو ينطق ينطق بالعربية. فهل يجوز للمرأة الحائض لمس مثل هذا أم لا؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
A question is asked from a sister from Denmark, and the question is, is a menstruating woman allowed to touch the Noble Quran when it is with English text and transliteration? And the boy went on to explain what that is, and he was saying, it might be spelled out like Alif, will be spelled out in English, A-L-I-F. So this is Alif. So the Arabic text is not in the Mus'haf, but it is read as if it is Arabic due to the transliteration in English. Is it permissible for her to touch this type of the Quran in this way? Please advise us. May Allah have blessings upon you.
إذا كان الكتاب الذي تمسك به لا يشتمل على القرآن وإنما يشتمل على ترجمة معاني القرآن.
Sheikh Hafidhullah begins by saying, if the book that is between our hands, within it is not the Qur'an itself, but the meanings of the Qur'an, then. That is the translation. But what is translated is the meaning of the Qur'an and the explanation of it.
وَلَا يُتَرْجَمْ ولا تترجم أحرف وكلمات وآيات القرآن.
But the letters and the verses of the Quran cannot be translated or are not translated.
لأنه لا يمكن ترجمة القرآن كما هو.
Because it's impossible to translate the Quran as it is into any other language.
لأن فيه من البلاغة من المعاني ما لا يمكن ترجمته.
Because within it is the linguistic characteristics and meanings that it's not possible that it could be translated into other languages. And it's impossible to translate it into any language. Rather, what is translated, what we would say is translated, is the meaning of what is in the Quran and some of its explanation.
إذا كانت الحائض تقرأ التفسير فلا بأس، أما إذا كانت تقرأ القرآن كما هو موجود في المصاحف.
If the menstruating woman, the حائض, is reading the tafsir, then there is no problem, the explanation. But if she is reading the Quran as it is,
اللغة العربية فهذا ما تمنع منه الحائض.
In the Arabic language, then this, the حائض is prohibited from doing so.
الذي فهمت من السؤال أنها تقرأ المعاني، ترجمة المعاني، وأن هذه المعاني تشتمل على بعض كلمات القرآن ولا تشتمل على القرآن أو عنه.
So from what I understood from the question is that she is reading the meanings of what is in the Quran, and within some of this explanation of the meanings of it, she runs into certain texts that are translated that are in the Quran, some words that are in the Quran.
شفت أنا لا أعرف أنه يوجد ترجمة للقرآن وإنما الترجمة لمعاني القرآن.
So some of the Quran might have verses that are, the word is spelled out or something. The Sheikh said, I don't know of any translation that has a translation. I guess he's speaking about transliteration here. Of the Quran, rather, I know or understand that the meaning of the Quran is what is being translated into these languages. So if this translation has some of the teaching of how to say the words of the Quran, pronounce them.
القرآن فهذا أمر آخر.
So if we're talking about, okay, this is teaching how to pronounce the Quran and actually recite it in the Arabic tongue, then this is another issue.
لكن الذي أعرفه أنا أن الترجمة تكون لمعاني القرآن وليس لآيات القرآن.
So what I understand is that the translations are in the, of the meanings of the Quran, not the words of the Quran or the verses, the literal verses. Now,
لأن القرآن لا يمكن كتابته إلا باللغة العربية.
Because the Quran, it is not possible to write it except in the Arabic language.
لكن الذي يمكن كتابته باللغات الأخرى هي معاني القرآن. فإذا كان.
But what is possible is that the meanings of the Quran can be written, translated.
المصحف أو الكتاب عفوا. إذا كان الكتاب يشتمل على آيات القرآن فلا. وأما إذا كان لا يشتمل على آيات القرآن وإنما يشتمل على معاني القرآن فلا بأس.
So if the book contains within it some of the verses of the Quran, then no. That is, you can't pick it up and touch it. And if it has the meanings of it, just the meanings or the tafsir, whatever, then yeah, there's no problem with her picking that up and reading it.
لأنه يعتبر تفسير كأنه يقرأ حديث أو يقرأ سيرة أو يقرأ فقه.
Because this is considered tafsir, as if somebody is reading the life or lives of the previous people from sirah or fiqh. The seerah of the Prophet or the fiqh or hadith or any such thing as that.
لأن الحديث والسيرة والفقه هي في حقيقتها شيء من الشريعة.
Because the tafsir, the explanation of the Quran, the hadith, and the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then this is all considered parts of Sharia.
تفسير القرآن شيء من الشريعة. وأنتم شيخ زاهد من أهل العلم.
And this tafsir is from part of the Sharia. And you, Sheikh Zahid, meaning Zahid Rashid, you, Sheikh Zahid, are from the people of ilm, of knowledge.
نحن نعرفكم منذ سنوات وأنتم من أهل العلم.
And we have known you for many years, and you are from the people of knowledge.
يمكن أن تعرفوا حقيقة ما في هذه الكتب وربما أنكم اطلعتم عليها.
And you are able to know the reality of these books, and maybe you have even seen, you have looked into them. And you speak the English language, and you know it very well. And you're also from that part of the world. So you're a mixture between the English and the Arabs.
ولكنكم من أهل السنة نحسبكم والله حسيبكم ومن أهل العلم بحمد الله تعالى.
But you are from the people of the Sunnah, and this is what we consider you, and Allah is the one that knows, and you are from the people of knowledge.
فيمكن أنكم تفتونهم في هذا الأمر.
So it is possible that you give them the fatwa, the verdict concerning this issue.
نعم.
اللهم استعان الشيخ لعلنا نعتبر النسخ من هذا إلى العلماء امثالكم ثم نأخذ كلامكم ونبلغ الآخرين بإذن الله تعالى.
Sheikh Zahid replies by returning his affair back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking help from him and saying maybe it is possible that we can bring copies of this book, the transliteration that they are speaking about, and show it to the scholars that are like you, our Shaykh, and you can give your final verdict.
هذا سائل من ولاية أوهايو حفظكم الله يسأل عن حكم الفيديو والتصوير خاصة إذا كان استخدامه لأمور الدعوة.
Here is a question from a brother in Ohio asking, what is the ruling concerning videos, video cameras and pictures, picture taking, if it is to benefit the da'wah, or for the benefit of the da'wah.
بالنسبة لتصوير الفيديو إذا كان المقصود به ما يصور بالأشرطة التي تعرض الصور التي تكون متحركة.
If what is meant by the video camera, is that camera that takes or captures those pictures that are moving, the actions that are moving, then what is also called live pictures.
وليست الصور الثابتة.
And not still pictures.
التي تسمى الفوتوغرافية.
What we call as photographs.
فإذا كانت بما يخص الدعوة مثل أن يصور درس.
And if it is something that is specifically concerning the propagation of the call, our دعوة, such as capturing a class.
لينشر في مكان آخر يستفاد منه في وقت آخر.
So that it may be captured and taken to another place and may be shown at another time and the people may benefit.
فهذا أمر لا بأس به.
And this is an affair that there is no problem with.
بل هو من باب التعاون على البر والتقوى ونشر الخير بين الناس.
Rather, it is from dealing or contributing and acting together in that which is righteous and good and calming the people.
ونرى أهل العلم في هذا العصر ومن علماء السنة وأهل السنة.
And we see the people of knowledge of this era and from the scholars of the علماء السنة and أهل السنة
يتركون الأجهزة التي تصور هذه الدروس وتنقلها إلى مواقع أخرى.
We see them, they leave these inventions, these gizmos that are doing this action of taking the picture and conveying it to another place, meaning they don't try to take them away, they just leave them in place.
يسمحون بها أمامهم.
And they accept that it is put in front of them.
ويجيبون على أسئلة السائلين ويشاهدونهم أمامهم.
And they also answer the questions of the people that are asking them, and the answer may be conveyed to them, you know, right in front of them. They see the sheikh answering the question.
وهذا من الأمور التي لا بأس بها.
And these are from the issues that there is no problem in.
وهي من الآلات التي يمكن أن تعين أهل الخير على الخير.
And it is from the inventions, the gizmos, the things that will help the people of goodness propagate that good.
مثل الإنترنت ومثل الأشرطة ومثل الفاكس.
Such as the internet, the audio cassettes, the facts.
وغيره من الآلات التي تشتمل على وسائل الدعوة.
And other than it, from the inventions that are able to propagate the da'wah in various forms.
لأن هذه أمور تشتمل على وسائل الدعوة آلات. فالإنترنت تشتمل على الدروس. الوسيلة هي الدرس.
So these are all things and inventions and stuff we can use to propagate the da'wah, such as the internet. It is used, and on there you'll find Islamic information such as classes. So we want the class, and we're able to get it through the internet.
من الإنترنت آلة والشريط آلة يشتمل على خطبة والخطبة هي الوسيلة.
So the internet or the tape, it's a machine, it's an آلة, it's an invention that we can use to get to the class that we are seeking to hear and listen to.
يشتمل على درس والدرس هو الوسيلة. أو يشتمل على مثل الفاكس آلة ويشتمل على رسالة تدخل فيه الرسالة وتصل إلى مكان.
Such is the fax and likewise the letter. The letter is written and it reaches somewhere else.
هذه آلات يمكن الاستفادة منها لنشر الخير والدعوة بين الناس.
So these are certain inventions that is, you know, it's permissible and it is good to go ahead and benefit that from them in order to propagate the calming, the da'wah.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. هذا سائل من كندا يقول هناك في بلادنا بعض الدورات العلمية يجتمعون فيها عدد من الرجال والنساء. فهل يجوز للمرأة المسلمة أن تلقي المحاضرة أمام الرجال مباشرة بدون أي فاصل؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
This is a questioner from Canada saying, there in our lands, Canada meaning, there are certain seminars or classes or gatherings in which the men and women come together to listen and benefit from. So now, is it permissible for the Muslim woman to get up in front of the men and give the class live in front of them with no barrier between her or them?
بالنسبة للرجال والنساء فما يتعلق بالأمور الشرعية أو الأمور المباحة أو الأمور المحرمة.
As for that concerning the men and the women, in the issues of Sharia, from that which is halal, permissible, haram, not permissible, liked, loved, and hated, or just acceptable, then.
فالأمور المشروعة مثل قراءة القرآن. مثل قراءة الحديث حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام.
From those issues that are مشروع, possible, permissible, acceptable, propagated, then that is such as reciting of the Quran or the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أو تعليم الناس أحكام الشريعة.
Or teaching the people the rulings of the شريعة.
وتدريسهم أمور الدين.
Teaching them the issues of the deen. Than this.
هذه أمور مشروعة.
These are permissible things.
والأمور المباحة.
These are things that are مشروع. Rather, that is something that is liked in Islam. It's, you know, part of the Sharia. And from the things that are مباح, they're just permissible. Not حرام, not حلال.
مثل الحديث. الكلام في أمور مباحة ليس فيها أمور محرمة.
Such as just speaking. Issues that have no haram in them, no haram in them, nothing disliked. If you're just speaking, then this is like permissible.
لا أمور مشروعة مثل الكلام في أمور اقتصادية أو أمور اجتماعية.
Such as gathering around and talking about financial issues or social issues.
أو مثلا شعر أو قصائد.
Or poetry.
أو قصص. أو غير ذلك من الأمور المباحة.
Or reading stories, or other than this, from things that are just merely permissible.
والأمور المحرمة مثل الغناء وكذلك الموسيقى آلات اللهو.
And from the things that are haram, prohibited, and they are like the things of الغناء, singing, and using the instruments of لهو, distraction, you know. Musical instruments, for instance.
وغير ذلك من الأمور المحرمة.
And other than this, from the issues that are محرم.
فالكلام ينقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام.
So the كلام, our speech, is broken down into three categories.
إما أن يكون في أمر مشروع.
It is either in an affair that is مشروع. That is something that should be done.
وإما أن يكون في أمر ممنوع.
Or in something that is ممنوع, should not be done.
وإما أن يكون في أمر مباح.
Or it is مباح, something that is just merely permissible.
وهذه الأمور الثلاثة جميعها لا يجوز أن تكون من نساء إلى رجال.
And in these three categories and three situations, it is not permissible that it is done from the women to the men. That is, it's not permissible for the woman to be the one doing this, speaking or singing or talking about the اقتصاد.
ولا يجوز أن تكون من رجال إلى نساء بدون حائل.
And it is not permissible neither that it be done from the men to the women without a barrier.
دون حاجز. بل يجب أن يكون بين الرجال وبين النساء حاجز.
Rather, it is binding that between them is a barrier. And it is necessary. There is a barrier between the men and women when the man is teaching.
فتسمع الصوت ويكفي.
So it is permissible enough for her to hear the sound, and that's enough.
أما أنها ترى الصورة وترى شكله أمامها وقد تفتتن به.
As for her seeing him, seeing his picture right in front of him, and maybe, and looking at him, and maybe that arousing desires in her. Or him seeing her on the same, and him having fitna with her, his desires being aroused by her, then this is not permissible.
وكذلك لا يجوز أن يكون هذا الأمر من إنسان أمرد من ولد أمرد أو من طفلة يعني من صبية.
And likewise, it is not permissible that it is done from a person that is amrad, a boy or man that is amrad. That is, he has no hair on his face, or from a sabiya, that is a young girl or maybe a young woman.
إلى رجال أو إلى نساء.
To the men or the women, they can't get up in front of either and do this.
لا يصلح أن يكون من أمرد من صبي أمرد يفتتن به الرجال أو تفتتن به النساء.
Yeah. So it's not permissible for this, you know, for this person that is Amrad, hairless or whatever. Amrad basically meaning he has no hair on his face, like that. They can't get up and speak and do that where it's possible that the women or men can be aroused by them.
ولا من صبية يفتتن بها الرجال أو يفتتن بها النساء.
Likewise goes for the female, the little girl that's like that. You know, the girl that's like that. She can't get up and do that if it's going to arouse the desires of the men or women.
فلا يجوز أن يكون الأمر المشروع أو المباح فضلا عن الممنوع أن يكون من نساء إلى رجال.
So it's not permissible that the amr that is mashru' liked and, you know, propagated and should happen, or, you know, first and foremost the mamnu' now, which is can't happen, then from women toward men, that you can't do that.
وَلَا مِنْ رِجَالٍ إِلَى نِسَاءٍ بِدُونِ حَاجِزٍ.
Or from men to women without the barrier.
إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِحَاجِزٍ.
But rather it's necessary the barriers put up.
بحجاب. وهذا عند الحاجة. عند الحاجة يكون من الرجال للنساء. ولكن
and when it is necessary, حاجة, then this is when the men are teaching the women from between a barrier or, you know, doing talking or whatever.
بحجاب. ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخل عليه أحد أصحابه رضي الله تعالى عنه.
So anyway, it's necessary that the hajib is put up, the barriers put up, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of his companions entered upon him عليه الصلاة والسلام.
منهم جميعا. دخل عليه صحابي كان كفيف البصر, أعمى البصر.
رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. This one of these companions, he entered and he was blind. كفيف البصر.
لا يبصر. فلم تحتجب بعض نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now this man, he didn't see. He sat down and some of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not put on their garments or the hijab, the complete hijab.
فأمرهما بالاحتجاب.
So he ordered them عليه الصلاة والسلام, let no, put on your dress, put on your hijab properly.
فقالتا زوجات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اثنتين منهما قالتا إنه أعمى.
So the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the two of them said, yeah, he is blind.
يعني لا يرانا.
Meaning he doesn't see us.
فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أعم وياني أنتما.
He عليه الصلاة والسلام said to them, are you blind?
يعني هل أنتما لا تبصرانه.
Is it that you can't see them? You two can't see him, يعني.
فكما أن الرجل إذا رأى المرأة يفتتن بها فكذلك المرأة إذا رأت الرجل فإنها تفتتن به.
So likewise, if the man sees a woman, he might arouse his desires might be aroused. Likewise, if the woman sees the man, her desires might be aroused. So according to this, the meaning of al-ihtijab here is that they need to leave the men's presence, not just put on the hijab as was translated earlier.
وَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ إِذَا رَأَتِ الرَّجُلِ يُعْجِبُهَا مِنْهُ رُجُولَتُهُ وَفُصُولَتُهُ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ.
So if the woman, she sees the brother, she sees the man, and she is impressed by his manliness and his rujula, and you know, his manliness, and other than that, from the things
التي تميل إليها المرأة,
that the woman might lean toward.
وفطر الله عز وجل المرأة إلى الميل إلى.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the woman to lean toward the man. And likewise, the male, he leans toward the femininity of the female. And her beauty and other things. So the men likewise have been created to lean toward the woman. Or the women.
فالرجل فتنة للمرأة والمرأة فتنة للرجل.
So men are tests for women, fitna, and women likewise are fitna for men.
والواجب على المسلمين أن يتمسكوا بطريقة نبيهم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
So it is binding upon the Muslims. Wajib, necessary to, for them to do, is that they hold fast to the way of their Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وَبِسَبِيلِ أَصْحَابِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَبِجَادَّةِ أَتْبَاعِهِمْ.
And to the way of his companions, and to those that were serious from their followers.
مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ وَمَنْ بَعْدَهُ مِنَ.
Of the predecessors, the tabi'in, and the tabi'in, the tabi'in, and whoever came after them. From the people of haqq, the people of truth, the people of righteousness, the people of sunnah.
الَّذِينَ يُكْرِمُونَ الْمَرْأَةَ وَيَرْفَعُونَهَا وَيَحْفَظُونَهَا.
Those that honor the woman, they raise her, they protect her.
يَصُونُونَهَا وَيُجِلُّونَهَا.
They keep her up. And they upkeep her, and they likewise fortify her.
وَيَحْفَظُونَهَا مِنْ كُلِّ سُوءٍ.
And they likewise keep away from her all harm.
وَيَحْمُونَهَا بِدِمَائِهِمْ.
They protect her with their blood.
وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ.
And their wealth.
وَيَذُودُونَ عَنْهَا.
And they fight for her.
وكذلك على المرأة أن تحفظ زوجها, أن تحفظ أولادها, أن تحفظ إخوانها.
And likewise, it's binding upon the woman that she protects or has hifz, that is, she takes care of her husband, her children.
ومن تقدر من محارمها من أن يقعوا في الفتنة.
And anyone she can from her maharim, her close relatives of the male gender, that she protects them from falling into fitna in any way she can.
فالواجب على المسلمين أن يحفظوا أنفسهم من الضلال ومن الانحراف.
So what's wajib upon the Muslimin, binding upon the Muslimin, is that they protect themselves from going astray and becoming crooked.
وقد جاء في السنة أنه لم يكن هناك فتنة أضر على الرجال من النساء.
And it has come in the Sunnah that there is not a fitna that is more harmful upon men than women.
أضر على الرجال من النساء. فالنساء فتنة للرجال.
So there's nothing more harmful on men more than women. Women are a fitna to men.
والرجال فتنة للنساء.
And men are fitna to women. And this is how it is.
هذا أمر معلوم من الشريعة ومعروف بالعقل.
This is something that is well known from the Sharia from our laws and legislations. And the intellect proves this as well, or knows it as likewise. And it is known from the fitrah, just the natural disposition of humans. And likewise, it is known and understood from the current state that we are in, and we know and see. And whoever wants to make inkar, that is, reject all of this, and he's just, you know, arguing with falsehood. He has nothing. The women, they lean toward men. يميلون. And men lean toward women.
نعم. أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذا السائل من ولاية نورث كارولينا تقول ولد زوجي من الزنا وأمه ولله الحمد أسلمت ولكن بقي الأب على الملة الكفر. فسؤالي هل يجوز لزوجي أن ينسب إلى أبيه؟ وهل يجوز أم له أن ينسب إلى أمه فيقال فلان ابن فلانة؟
A questioner, apparently is a sister from North Carolina. She said, my husband was born from an illegitimate relationship, that is zina, from Jahiliyyah. His mother, and all thanks is to Allah, has accepted Islam, but his father remains upon kufr. My question is it correct for him to be attributed to his father, that is, called by his father's name, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so? Does it make a difference that one was born into a kafir family, whether he can be called that or not? Is it correct that he call himself Ibn so-and-so, but with the mother's name? That he's attributed to the mother, not the father.
والآن ينسب إلى من؟ الآن ينسب إلى أبيه على حسب القانون.
وهذا النكاح الذي نكح فيه الأب الأم سائر في دينهم السابق قبل أن يسلم؟
لا لا، يعني ولد قبل الزواج.
أسأل عن الولد، أسأل عن النكاح الذي نكح فيه الأب الأم الزوجة قبل الولد.
Okay, the Sheikh is asking Sheikh Zahid here, is this person, the situation. Now, when this relationship happened, is that type of relationship permissible for them or legislated for them in their religion? Sheikh Zahid replies by saying, well, this was not in the question, may Allah preserve you. The Sheikh Ahmed, he replies by saying, well, we should make sure, certain of the issue, and then we can answer.
طيب خير إن شاء الله. وهذا سؤال ثالث من الكندا أيضا يقول هل يجوز لرجل مدرس أن يدرس أو يعلم المرأة بوجود المحرم؟
We have a questioner from Canada. He's asking, is it permissible for a male teacher to teach a female student if the mahram is present?
إذا كان يحتاج أن تكون أمامه، فكان هذا أمر مطلوب، يعني في عمل أو في تطبيق معين لا تجد من النساء من يعلمها ويوجد المحرم فلا بأس. أما إذا كانت تظهر أمامه بملابسها ويظهر أمامها و يحصل شيء من الفتنة من أن تعجب به أو يعجب بها أو شيء من هذا فلا يجوز. أما إذا أمنت الفتنة كأن يكون رجل كبير السن أو هي مرأة كبيرة السن أو بينهما حجاب أو أنه يقوم بالتدريس من غير أن يجلس معها ويجلس إليها إنما يلقي الدرس ثم يخرج فلا بأس. أما إذا كان يحصل شيء من المفاسد فلا، أو إذا كان بمقدورها أن تستغني بالنساء عن هذا الرجل فلا بأس. نعم. فهو الواجب يعني إذا كان بمقدورها أن تستغني بالنساء عن هذا الرجل فهو المتعين عليها، هو الواجب عليها. أما إذا كان أمرا ضروريا مثل أن يعلمها مثلا أشياء لا يوجد من النساء من يقوم بذلك، فيوجد المحرم مع التحفظ والتحجب بالحجاب الشرعي، فأرجو أن نقبل.
Sheikh is answering. Sheikh Ahmed is saying, well, if this is something that is necessary, that she's in front of him, seeing what he's doing, watching, something that is needs to be done, tangibly needs to be done, and she needs to see it then. And she can't find from the women who could teach her that, and the mahram is present, then there's no problem. But if she just comes out in her normal clothing, and he's out in front of her, and there is possibility that there's going to be some fitna from that. He might be impressed by her, she might be impressed by him, or something of this sort. Then it's not permissible. But if the fitna, we're pretty safe it's not going to happen. No fitna is going to happen. Like, it's an older man, or she's an older woman, or that between them is a barrier, or if he could teach without having to actually sit around or near her or with her. But rather what he does, he gives the class and leaves, and there's no problem. But if there is going to be any type of harm that might occur, then no. Or if it is within her power that she could use women to learn the same thing, then no. She should not. This is not permissible for him to get up and teach her. Rather, what is an obligation upon her, a wajib, is that if there is women to teach what that man could be is teaching, then that's where she has to go. She has to be with the women. But if it's something that is daruri, necessary for her to learn, and there is nothing around her for the females to teach her, there's no women around to teach her, then, and the mahram is present with the tahaffud, that is taking the necessary protective steps and having the correct Islamic hijab, then I hope that there is no problem with it.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذا سائل من أمريكا يقول هل يجوز لزوجتي كشف شعرها أمام أبي وهو كافر؟
لا أستطيع الإجابة في هذا الوقت.
The Sheikh Ahmed Hafidhullah said, I can't answer your question at this time.
أحسن الله إليكم. تقول سائلة هل يمكن لأبي أن يدفع لي المبلغ للحج البدء لأحج عن جدتي مع العلم أنه لم يحج، أي أبوه لم يحج وهو قادر من ناحية المال، ولكن بسبب صحته قد لا يستطيع هذه السنة.
And the questioner goes on another question. May Allah be good to you and preserve you. Is it permissible or can my father pay for me the amount for Hajj al-Badal, the Hajj where she's doing it for someone else, most probably for him, rather, so that she can make Hajj for her one of her grandparents, grandmother or grandfather, because they, with the knowledge that they had not made Hajj. Now he is financially able to perform his Hajj, alhamdulillah, but he does not think he will be able to do Hajj this year due to health reasons. Meaning, he hasn't done Hajj. Grandmother didn't do Hajj. He's financially able, health reasons he's not able. Can he give her money to do Hajj al-Badr on him?
يعني الآن الأب الذي سيدفع المال مسلم،
نعم سيدفع المال
وهو لم يحج حجة الإسلام،
نعم
وهو غير قادر
نعم.
على الحج، لكن يرجى برؤه، يرجى أنه يبرأ ويقدر،
نعم
في السنوات القادمة،
والحج البدل ليس له،
لتقوم هذه البنت بالحج عن أمه،
نعم
فأرجو أن لا حرج مع توفر الشروط الأخرى من وجود المحرم ومن وجود المحرم والقدرة على الذهاب إلى الحج بعد أن تحج هي حجة الإسلام، فلا تحج عن غيرها إلا إذا كانت قد حجت هي عن نفسها حجة فريضة. نعم.
الشيخ أحمد is asking now the father that is paying. He's Muslim. Yes, he's Muslim. And he has not made Hajj, the Hajj of Islam, the first and obligatory Hajj. Yes, he hasn't done that yet. But he is not able to. But it is hoped that he will become cured, right? And that he will be able to. So he's going to pay money to his daughter that she makes Hajj for her grandmother, which is his mother, the father's mother. Sheikh Hafizullah, he says, I hope that there is no problem with this. With meeting the necessary conditions other than this and the presence of a mahram, and with the ability to actually go and make Hajj. After she makes Hajjat al-Islam. Again, Hajjat al-Islam being the first and obligatory Hajj pilgrimage that the Muslim makes. After she does this, then she could continue and do the other one later on. So she can't make pilgrimage Hajj upon anybody other than herself, so she has made it for herself first.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذا السائل هذه السائلة من بريطانيا تقول لدي عمل عبر الشركة العنكبوتية وبعض الزبائن يستخدمون الدفع المقدم ببطاقة الصراف وبعضهم البطاقة الصراف العادي التي تلزم صاحبها أن يدفع الربا إن لم يدفع المبلغ في المدة المعينة فكيف العمل بالتاريخ فكيف العمل بطريقة الدفع وهل علي ذنب إذا قبلت المبلغ أو دفع بهذه الوسائل؟
May Allah be good to you and have and bless you. A question of, I have my business is partly run on the internet and some of my customers have to use credit cards or these credit cards that are, or credit cards that are prepaid, no riba. Now, how do I handle them making a purchase with the method of payment they use? Is there a sin on me to accept it? It is the riba ones. What happens to the customer? What happens if the customer goes to my website to shop and the money goes straight to the main company and I gain a few dollars from my company that is sent to me in a check?
هي تعمل بشبكة شبكة المعلومات العالمية التي تسمى الإنترنت وبعض الزبائن يدفع وهم من المسلمين ليس كذلك كل المال من بطاقات ائتمانية تابعة للبنوك وإذا تأخروا في السداد عن البنوك يحسب عليهم فوائد
نعم
يحسب عليهم فوائد فإذا كانت تعلم وتوقن بأن هذه المبالغ تؤول إلى الربا وهي مأخوذة من أهل الإسلام من المسلمين فلا يجوز ذلك أما إذا كانت لا تعلم إنما هؤلاء يدفعون المال ثم يسددون قبل حصول الربا عليه والإضافة والزيادة عليهم فهذا لا بأس.
Sheikh says, well, I'm understanding the question is that she does part of her work through the internet. She's got a business. Some of the people they pay through that. And I'm understanding that they're from the Muslimin. Is it not like this? They're paying through certain cards that are given to them from banks. And if they're late in payment, then they got to pay an amount that is riba. So it is counted against them. Riba is counted against them. They got to pay interest. If she knows that this is coming, she's certain that this is coming through riba. Certain Muslims are dealing with it. That's how they're paying and it's not permissible. But she doesn't know that the people are paying or not on time and that they're, you know, she doesn't know certainly if they're paying on time and not paying riba like this. Then she doesn't know and then there's no problem.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وهذا السؤال الأخير ما حكم تزيين الجدار بأسماء الله أو شاشة الكمبيوتر يكون فيه أشياء متحركة بالآيات أو مثلها الحاسب العالي أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
Questioner asked, may Allah be good to you and bestow His blessings upon you. Is it or what is the ruling on decorating the walls or placing the names of Allah for decoration in the house? And what about the calligraphy or pictures used as screensavers or wallpapers on monitor screens, computer monitor screens?
بالنسبة لتزيين الجدران أسماء الله تعالى أو بالآيات بآيات القرآن العظيم، فهذا خلاف ما كان عليه السلف الصالح، وإنما دخلت علينا هذه من أصحاب الديانات الأخرى من الكنائس وغيرها من النصارى، أنهم يزينون جدرانهم بالصور والتصاوير والتزاويق وبعض الرسومات، ثم بدأ المسلمون يعملون ما يقابلها من وضع الآيات والأحاديث أو بعض الكلمات أو الأسماء ونحو ذلك، وهذا لم يكن عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا من بعدهم من أئمة أهل السنة، بل هذا خلاف السنة. ثم أخذها عن النصارى وعن غيرهم أخذها أهل التصوف الصوفية، وبدأوا يضعونها في المساجد ونحو ذلك، وهذا كما قلت خلاف السنة.
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he starts by saying, as for the issue of beautifying the walls or the pillars with the names of Allah or the ayat of Allah in the Quran, then this is opposite and in opposition to what the righteous predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, were upon. Rather, this is something that has come in and was introduced to us from the people of the outside religions, such as the churches and other than them. And it was well known that the Christians, they put these pictures up on their walls and their pillars. They put up pictures and statues and this kind of thing. And then the Muslimin, they went ahead and did something similar to that, of putting or placing up the ayat and ahadith on their walls and pillars, or of placing some of the names or words and things to this effect. And this is not something that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam were upon, nor those that came after them from the scholars of the Salaf or Ahlul Sunnah, and this is in opposition to the Sunnah. And then after this, the people of Sufiya took this action of putting up the pictures and decorations and all this stuff around from the Christians. So these Sufis now came and started to introduce it into the masajid and places of this sort. And this is, as I said, is in opposition to the Sunnah.
أما أن المسلم مثلا يضع في دفتره بعض الكتابات، بعض الأدعية، بعض الآيات التي يقرأها أحيانا أو يجعلها وردا له.
As for the Muslim, for him putting down in his notebook some of the Azkar, some of the Ayat, some of the Ahadith of this sort that he likes to read at certain times, or he makes it something that he does on a daily basis. So if he does this, he puts it in his notebook or he puts it in his little Palm Pilot or something like that, there's no problem with that.
أو ذكرا له أو بعض الأحاديث والأذكار في دفتره، أن يضعها في الدفتر فلا بأس، أو يضعها في الحاسب الآلي. أما أن تجعل كزينة فقط مجرد جمال فهذا خلاف السنة، أو لا تركه، وأن يكون القرآن في الصحف المصاحف يقرأ ويتعبد لله عز وجل به. أما أن يجعل تجميل وتزويق فهذا خلاف السنة. نعم.
As for being used as some type of zina, beautification or something like this, trying to make it some type of ornament, then this is not something that was done. Rather, the Qur'an is something that is put in the books and is recited so that the people may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting it. As it just being put up for ornaments and beautification, this is in opposition to the Sunnah.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.